Welcome to The Rundown. I'm your host, Justin Pugliese. This podcast is dedicated to you, the run community. Each episode, we bring you interviews with top athletes and community leaders who share their stories, tips, and tricks to inspire and motivate you to keep running. Ultimately, we're all just here to have fun. From elite athletes to weekend warriors, find out how people get started and why they keep going. So listen up, tell your run buddies, and don't forget to subscribe to The Rundown. You can find us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I passed the finish line with the qualifying time for Boston. I started to cry. Like I said, I could not believe I could achieve that. But this is what I learned in the past few years, is when you're getting surrounded with inspiring people like you, Justin, or like many runners I've met in the past year, everything is possible. Like you're getting inspired by those runners. You see those runners starting to run from scratch and they're doing their first 5K. I can do Boston, let's do this. And I did it. So you want to really talk to about Boston the day we ran Boston?
On this episode of The Rundown, I had a chance to speak with CCC Run Club leader Marc Langevin. We spoke about how he grew his run club from 10 people to over 150 in only 5 years. He also explains his journey to the Boston Marathon and how he plans to run the Haricana 125K in Charlevoix, Quebec. He's a coach, a teacher, an ultra marathoner, and overall a really good guy. He's inspired me, and I'm sure he'll inspire you too. This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group is for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. In this week's Run News, Central High School in Phoenix, Arizona hosted the Desert Solstice Invitational last weekend, an annual track meet that's a bit different than most. 33 elite ultra runners participated in the race and had to qualify to get there. The goal is to run for 24 hours straight and reach 100 miles in distance. Among them was Oklahoma City-based runner Camille Herron, who ran 162.9 miles in 24 hours, setting a new 100-mile and 24-hour world record. She crossed the 100-mile mark in 13 hours, 25 minutes. When it was all said and done, she ran more than 650 laps on the 400-meter track, and her average pace was 8 minutes 40 seconds per mile throughout the 24-hour period. It was announced on Monday that Yuki Kawauchi and Des Linden, the men's and women's champions of the Boston Marathon last year, will be returning to defend their title in 2019. Last year's race saw some of the worst conditions in the race's 123-year history. In fact, 23 elite runners dropped out of the race that day. Despite the rain, wind, and cold, Kawauchi and Linden had incredible performances. Linden also finished sixth in the New York City Marathon in November this year, and Kawauchi wasted no time racing a half marathon only 6 days after Boston, and a few other marathons as well, just for good measure. That's all for the news. Gotta run. When I think run community in Montreal, I think of this guy, Marc Langevin, and we're lucky enough to have him here today on The Rundown. Thanks for joining us, Marc.
Thanks.
You're welcome. I wanted to have you in today. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting you probably 3 years ago, along with some other inspiring runners. And I just wanted to kind of have you in here just to talk about you.
I know it's probably... Yeah, thanks, man. I'm lucky to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. So I just want to know from you, like, and this is a question I ask all the guests, that how did you get into the run space? Were you an athletic kid growing up? Where did it all kind of start for you?
Well, I was pretty involved in sports when I was young. I played like all Montrealers. Like I was a big hockey player till 15 years old. But, you know, I wanted to become a phys ed teacher. So I was really involved in sports. But I think my schedule was hard to fit like hockey games, soccer games and everything. So I started to run because it was easy for me like to stay healthy and being able to run wherever I was at the University of Montreal while I was also a trainer in a big gym in Montreal. so I could run everywhere at the time I wanted. So that's where I started to run.
Okay, cool. And what age was that about?
Oh, I think I was around 19, I would say, around 19 years old.
Okay. Yeah. And that kind of continued into like past your schooling, were you always in education? You said you wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah. So I was starting to be a personal trainer in a big gym in Montreal. So lifting weights, trying to get LT and LTer and like having those big muscles. But I thought it was like boring. I thought it was like not a big goal to achieve, like being muscular and everything. So I said, running is something I would be, running would be something really cool to achieve, like doing a long run. So I started to tell myself what could I do with running, and I registered for a half marathon. I never ran.
Okay.
So 8 weeks before that run, I started to train and doing those 10Ks, and it was not good. I hurt myself. So, but I still did that 21K that year. I think it was in 2001.
Okay.
So that's where I started to run. Okay, not a good way, but still, I did my first 21K before a 5 or a 10K. I went for the half marathon.
And which one was that?
It was a Nike run in Île Notre-Dame. They were sponsoring like that run in April. I think now it's the Scotiabank half marathon in April that replaced that Nike run.
Okay, cool. And did you have friends that you were running with, or was it just like...
No, I was alone. Yeah. Alone and desperate on the course because it was, I hurt myself. It was painful. I think I did like 1 hour, 55 minutes, and it was awful. You know, I didn't like it. But after that, I thought with my training thinking, I said, man, you were crazy to do that. So I've stopped running for a couple of months and did continue to train at the gym. But in 2013, I think, this is where really the running came with my running groups. And I started to train. My friends around me were always getting hurt with running. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, guys, I was running for the last year and I had fun doing it. Let's do a run club.
Okay.
And we started to train in 2013 with maybe 10 person, and this is where my run club started.
Okay, cool. So you talk about run club. Your run club is CCC?
Yeah.
Has it always been CCC?
No, it used to be in French, Club de course les courailleurs, but when I talk with you guys in English, every English-speaking person in Montreal told me, what's courailleur? And I said, you know, it's a guy who cheats on his girlfriend. So I said, I have to, it was a funny, in French, it's something really funny to say. But in English, that doesn't work. So we kept the 3C of Club de course les courailleurs, and we replaced it by course, community, and coaching. So that's it.
So that's what it is.
Yeah.
So it started in 2013.
2013, the first year. So it was this year was the sixth year of CCC season.
And I was at the gala for that, which was
quite
special.
Yeah, it was big.
And you guys have gone from 10 people to
150 each Wednesday night.
Yeah, it's incredible, and it's really quite an inspiration to come and run with you guys. There's nothing really like it. You guys are in Boucherville.
Yeah.
Right? And that's where you're from?
This is my hometown.
That's where you grew up?
Born and raised.
And it's beautiful. They're running along the water. And
yeah.
Where did it switch for you? Was it really like the injury and injury prevention side like that made you want to start this run club?
You know, I started to do you know those insanity workouts? Yeah, like
P90X.
Work your core, P90X. And I invited a group of my friends like to train in the gym. So we were like around 40 doing those insanity workouts, and we were doing this like in December, January till March, and in March we stopped, and this is where people would like to continue, you know, those trainings. But I was bored to do that. So I said, we could run. Like I said, my friends around me were always getting hurt with running. So I said, I could lead that run club. And this is where I took like the role as a head coach, as a run coach. I had my my certification as a personal trainer. So let's do this. And we started with 10 runners. And the goal is simple. You want to come in my run club. You have to, first of all, give yourself a goal with running and be there each Wednesday. Like, show up and run with us.
Okay. And did you find, so you give them a sense of like empowerment, I guess, to set a goal for themselves? Because, you know, a lot of, I think quite a few runners, they'll go and run and they just do it for exercise or whatever. It's like, where do you find, where's that switch, you know? And oftentimes it's somebody that might plant a seed, you know? It's
yeah. I think for myself, the many years I've stayed in gyms and people were training to stay healthy, they stop. You know, you have to give yourself like a plan that really is meaningful to you, like running a half marathon, running a 5K, climbing the Kilimanjaro, or anything that is really reliable to yourself. And this is where I think the fun is getting into the running. You're not just running for running, you're running for something. And this is where also running can make you a better human. Like, you're gonna grow with the running you do and with the goal you achieve. Mm-hmm. Each time you achieve a goal, or you try to achieve a goal, like let's say in Boston, I was awful. That was the worst race of my life. But for me, it was maybe the race where I learned the most thing about myself. Mm. So it's not always about, you know, the time or whatever. It's the training you do to get yourself there. Mm-hmm. So this is what I told my runners. And I think my runners are really inspired by this type of thinking. Like, have a goal, train for it, and if you don't get to your goals, at least you work for it and you grow working for that goal.
Right. And then do you find like a lot of these people are coming back, like, well, first of all, are they healthier now? Like, they're not getting as injured?
Yeah, for sure. Many of my runners with CCC this year, we had a big goal. It was to you know, develop a workshop to quantify, I don't know how to say it in English, but, you know, to quantify your training, not just the time, not just the pace, not just the amount of minutes you run, but also combine, are you tired in your week? Do you have like a big week ahead of you? So you can manage your training with this. So we did that with Espace Physiopharm, one of our big partners at CCC. And I think this year, and we had a lot of runners who said that they weren't injured and they had more fun running with this tool. So maybe I could come back and tell you more about this super tool we built. Yeah.
It's like a case study you're building. You know? You're doing some real.
But each year we give ourselves like goals with CCC. It's not just running on Wednesday. It's what we could give each year more for the runners. So I think that's why people are coming back each year.
Yeah.
So.
And it's a really nice, like, because you have all those leaders, you have a different speed. You have like, how many, seven different?
Like, I have five different groups, five different pace, 10 running coach.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, people don't pay to come to CCC. It's free. So it's really community work. How do we say bénévole in English?
You're a volunteer.
Yeah, volunteer. So I have like 12 volunteers each Wednesday night. It's amazing. Like, and we run with so many people that inspired us, like with their stories and everything. It's just getting better each year.
Mm-hmm. It's nice when you can do something like that. And, you know, the reward is that exactly.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like, the feeling that you give people like new goals, like, and they reach it, like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. The feeling that gives me this, it's amazing.
Yeah. And one of your big goals, and we were fortunate enough to go together, was Boston.
Oh my God, Boston. Let's talk about Boston.
For the first time.
Yeah.
Did you ever, when you were in university, did you ever think that you would do Boston in the first place?
Oh, no. Boston for me was like unreachable. Like, let's say in 2013, when I started CCC, I wanted to run, and I'm competitive. Like, I'm a phys ed teacher, I'm a trainer. So I started to run, and I wanted to run faster each year. But Boston, with the times and everything, I said, my God, this is so rough. This is like, I'm not sure I will make it one day. And in 2015, I registered early in the spring for the Albany Marathon, the Hudson Mohawk Albany Marathon. Mm-hmm. And I said to myself, I didn't tell anyone. But I said to myself, I'm going to give myself a chance to try Boston, try to do a BQ. And I trained hard that summer, really hard, like alone, because I didn't want to tell anyone. And I was on the track 2 times a week. I did my volume. And I remember the day that race arrived in October, I was on the starting line like 2 hours before the start. We were freezing. It was like -3 degrees in shorts with my hat and winter gloves. And I said to myself, you know, I'm going to give everything I have there. And if this doesn't work, it's not a problem, because I give myself like 100% all year. Like, I trained for that race 6 months. And I passed the half marathon time in the goal time I wanted to do for Boston. So I was pretty happy. And, oh my God, it was like that race when you suffer from like the beginning till the end. So I passed the finish line with the qualifying time for Boston. I started to cry. Like I said, I could not believe I could achieve that. But this is what I learned in the past few years, is when you're getting surrounded with inspiring people like you, Justin, or like many runners I've met in the past year, everything is possible. Like, you're getting inspired by those runners. You see those runners starting to run from scratch, and they're doing their first 5K. I can do Boston. Let's do this. And I did it. So you want to really talk to about Boston the day we ran Boston?
Well, it was hell of an, it was a really great experience.
Oh, yeah. It was. Boston is a dream. Like, for runners, my dad ran marathon, and he always talk about that, like, mythical marathon in Boston. And that's why I thought it was, like, for me, it was unreachable, because my dad thought so much about this marathon, like, as a something unreachable. But when I qualified for it, my dad was so happy for me. And I remember I was with you that day. We started, we were on the start line. And that day, for, I don't know if you remember, but Boston's like really big. But when we arrived there, it was your first Boston. It was my first Boston. And I remember you writing a number on my arms. Hey, Mark, you're a triathlete, eh? So Justin told me to write my number on my biceps. So he took a big marker and write my numbers. And I look around me, and no one had that number. So I looked like a fool. It was my first Boston. I was like, my anxiety was topping. It was like 25 degrees.
It was hot too.
It was really warm. And since I have Raynaud's disease, so I can't train a lot during winter time, I did all my volume on a treadmill and indoor. So for me, Boston was outside, and it was super hot. That's why I was anxious. I was not sure with my plan, and my plan really was to do about the same time I did in Albany when I qualify.
Match it.
Yeah, that was a big mistake. So short story, half marathon where all the cool girls are at Wellesley College.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like sick there. So, and it was getting worse and worse each K. I think I did 4 hours, 15 minutes to complete that marathon, but I'm super proud to cross that finish line. You know, I suffer a lot and it was the hardest race I ever been in, but I'm going to go back in Boston. Mm-hmm. Now I'm into trail running. Long distances, ultra, trail running. But one day I'm going to go back to Boston and I'm going to take my revenge on that super hard course.
It's really, it's, you hear about it.
Yeah.
I think it was like that for a lot of races, but it doesn't do it justice, you know.
Oof.
It's a lot harder than I think most people think, just the way it's set up. And, you know, I decided even for myself at 10K, I just said, screw it. I'm going to just enjoy it.
Yeah. The first year you did it with me. Yeah.
Like you can never get that moment back, the first one. So it's nice to kind of, even with your situation, you know, you still had that appreciation at the end. Like,
oh yeah,
you made it and you got the medal. And
oh yeah, I was 2 hours at the medic then. I was smiling. Like,
yeah,
I did finish Boston. And is it really doing Boston that is important, or what was before Boston? Because, you know, BQ for me is
BQ's
more
Boston qualifier.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. BQ for me is more important than the race itself. All the hard work that you put in a race, that's, we should focus more on that than the result itself. Let's say you train hard for 6 months, you don't get the time you want to do. It's not that bad. You know, you did train hard for 6 months. That's what I'm telling my runners to focus on. Yeah, do yourself a big favor. Go all out on race day. But if it doesn't happen to personal best that day, it's not
the end
deal
of the world. Yeah,
yeah, that's it.
But you still have some pretty amazing runners in your group. You have
for
sure. Is he 70 years old?
Richard.
This guy is unbelievable.
Yeah, he started to run at 67, and he said, could you be my coach? I said, what's your goal? He just told me, I don't know. I'm new to running. I love to run. I saw, because his daughter did the Montreal New York run. Like, it's a crew run with like a relay run. And he was a volunteer in that race and he was inspired by those runners doing that relay run. And the year after, he said, I want to run. I don't know how to run, but I want to do it. So we registered for a 5K, a 10K, and this year was only for 5 and 10. And he made it good times and he was smiling, he was having fun. But he said, Mark, I want to do a marathon. I said, okay, let's do a marathon. What the hell? You're 68.
What do you have to lose?
Yeah, what do you have to lose? And you don't have that many time to achieve one. Mm. LT. So we did register him in the Longueuil spring marathon, and he did 4 hours, 2 minutes, and he qualified for Boston on his first marathon. And he did Boston, and now this year he did Boston, Chicago, and New York. So he did 4 marathons this year, and he's doing Berlin next year.
Unbelievable.
At 71.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's. I got to meet him at a few of your runs, and truly an inspiration. Like,
yeah,
the definition of, like, when people say it's never too late to start, if they don't believe that, they should go talk to Richard.
Yeah, they should talk to Richard for sure.
Like, it's just mind-blowing, you know, the power of,
if you put the work in, you can achieve anything.
That's it.
But you have to believe in yourself, though.
Right.
So get a great coach. And I'm not saying I'm a great coach. I'm just saying, like, if you have a coach and you have the will to work, you're going to achieve anything you want.
Yeah. Do your students that you teach know what you're doing?
Yeah. I'm a phys ed teacher in elementary school. They know what I do. They think I'm a little bit crazy because now I'm doing like long distances. I've told them I ran like 12 hours on Chute du Diable 12 straight hours, and they're looking at me with those eyes really open and saying, what for? And but they know I'm healthy. I think I'm a good model for them as a phys ed teacher. And yeah, they think that I'm a little bit crazy, and it's not finished because this year I'm going to do the 125K in Arikana.
You signed up for it.
And the main goal is to do a 100 miler in 2020, but I still don't know where. I have to think about this. I wanted to do Bromont, but Bromont is really cold in the fall. Mm-hmm. Since I have Raynaud disease, cold, 100 miler. I think I'm going to choose one like in those really warm weathers. Mm-hmm. So
do you find that like, obviously it's a limitation, but how do you get around that?
During winter time, you're not going to see me like running on Mont-Royal at minus 20. I can't, like my fingertips, my toes are freezing and it's dangerous. Like I have no blood in my fingers, so I could get frostbites really easy. So it's mainly treadmill, a lot of treadmills, and Zestrand indoor parking run club that start in January for 10 weeks for my long runs.
That was really special, finding out about that. And what did it start the year we went to Boston? Was it 2016?
Yeah. It started that year, and we started with maybe 50 runners on that first year. I remember you and I did long runs there. We even do like a 30K on a morning.
Sunday morning.
We arrived like at 5 a.m. and we ran till 8:30. In 2018, we had like Sunday morning, we had 300 runners. So I think it's not just me that doesn't like to run in winter. I think for long runs and for marathoners that prepare for, let's say, Ottawa or Longueuil marathons, spring marathons, they want to, you know, they want to have fun doing their long runs. Treadmill is not fun. Running outside on minus 20, unless you're a beast, it's really hard. So I think it brings like fun into those long runs, being able to do it with hundreds of people around you in shorts, in a singlet, and with great music, coffee, and everything.
Great music here.
Yeah, great music. It's my playlist.
I know. Yeah, it's really great. And you see some, what was really cool is you see some some elite runners come through.
You
Sam Trudel.
Ariane Rabi, Mélanie Miran.
Yeah. So some elite Quebec female runners. Yeah. I trained with Ariane. I've ran with Mel before. Sam Trudel, we had him at one of our events recently. Great guy, great Quebec runner, ultra road runner, which is, I don't know what you think about that, but I think it's crazy, stupid, like insane. Like on the trail, it's one thing, but road, but it's cool to see those fast runners. And, you know, what's great about it is there's a speed for everybody.
Yeah.
So
in fact, everyone could go to their speed.
Like, yeah.
And this is where it's get. I think this project is really great because you get to see like Ariane Rabi running around you, but in a race you never get to see Ariane Rabi. She's so fast, or Mel Miran, they would pass you like a rocket, and that's it. You see them for 2 seconds, but as like let's say you're a beginner or you just started to run. You could see Ariane and Mel like running for 2 hours and see their techniques. And it's really a great inspiration for those runners who never had the chance to see those runners. Samuel Trudel, Alvaro, or many elite runners from Quebec are running this 30, you know, on Sunday mornings.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Yeah, my pleasure.
It was great. Yeah, and now we have like Starbucks showing up and all these crazy, like
donuts,
whatever you need, it's there on Sunday morning.
It's a great deal.
Yeah,
and it's free.
And it's free. You can get a massage if you want. It's perfect. What's better than that?
Are you coming this year?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I. For me, it's not even about the cold. I can handle the cold.
Yeah.
I wear layers. I wear like zip up layers, so you know, even if I get warm, I can peel them off. But it's just the traction. You can't get the quality workouts. Like for a long run, okay, it's fine. you know, you're going to run a little bit slower.
But speed training.
But speed trainer, you just can't get it. And I hate the treadmill. I hate the treadmill. So it's nice to kind of get, it's great.
The in-between, like.
In-between.
You could go for a nice speed workout.
Yeah.
And still enjoy, like, fast, but not inside on the treadmill.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, yeah, I think it's really, really awesome. What do you prefer? I know the answer to this, but trail running versus road running, and like why? I guess you did. You start on the road.
Okay, for me, the Boston Marathon was so hard. When I came back in April of that marathon, I said to myself, I have to give like a break. I have to take a break from road running. I did train a lot for that marathon, and I was tired. I was trying, and I always say to my runners, find a goal that makes sense to you but gives you pleasure. Like you always have to get the pleasure to run. And I said to myself, what about trail running? I never done it. And some of my friends were doing it. So I said, let's try this. That year, I went for 20K I think it was Sutton or X-Trail Sutton. I loved it. Like in the nature, no pace. Boston was really, you have to get the pace. You have to, you know, follow the pace, follow the training. And now you're in the nature. You don't have pace. You just run. You walk when it's too inclined and you enjoy nature. For me, it was relieving. Like, wow, I need this in my life right now. And as a running coach, as a phys ed teacher, with the family and everything, being in the nature in the weekends to do a long run was resourceful. So that's when I said to myself, let's go long. I did a 20K trail. Let's do 50. Then I said, let's do a 80. And the goal is now to do a 160K in 2020. But like I said, going into the nature in weekends and run for hours, for me, it's like, wow, that time is precious.
You love it, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it's this connection that you get. You don't get it on the road.
And
so much.
Especially for me, because I'm running with friends. Like, it's long runs with friends in the nature. Like, we have a beer after the run. It's not about going fast. It's about life. It's about talking with your friends, enjoying running. And that's it. Yeah, we go long. It's really hard. Like, you suffer a lot doing those long runs. But preparing for those are just fun times. Like, and for me, compared to road running, where you have to get speed training and everything it has to be like super, super planned, I think trail running is more like
loose.
And that's what I love about trail running.
Cool. So, and when you talk about preparation, what do you mean? What does that look like for you?
For me, it's about preparing for the incline you're going to go into. So let's say you have a run in Bromont. I know Bromont is really hard onto the incline, the dénivellation. How do we say that?
Yeah. Like, yeah, the climb, the elevation.
The elevation.
Yeah.
So we have to train in similar conditions. So you go into a mountain that will be about the same as your runs at least once a week. And I still do a lot of road running because I live in Boucherville. There's no mountain there. So I would do, like, I would say 60 to 70% of my training on road. And then on weekends, go for a long run and maybe a quick run on the mountain with big, big inclines. Mm-hmm. The volume is about the same as a marathon, but I would say it's getting better, bigger now because I'm doing like 125K this year. So I think I'm going to put maybe 120K a week to prepare for this. 40% on the mountain, 60% on the road. But that's it. It's fun. Just fun. Yeah. No pace, no time. Slow. Running slow is the key. Like, you guys run fast. Like, I've run with you and you guys are fast, but for me, like, running fast is not fun anymore. I need to run slow. Mm-hmm. Slow is like really relieving, like, wow. Mm-hmm. And when you see trainings, even for elite athletes, you see those guys, even Kipchoge. Mm-hmm. I read
the world record holder.
Yeah,
in Berlin,
and he's running like super slow runs during his training. Compared to the time he does, like the time he did in Berlin, you have to follow them. Like they're giving you some advice. And I look around myself, people starting running and they're running fast, too fast. So my first advice as a coach is, first of all, run slow. Yeah, you have to do some speed training and it's important. But if your goal is just enjoying running, go slow. And trail running is slow. So in my life right now, professionally, family speaking, to keep the balance, I think trail running is the key to my happiness. So this is where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, well, there's a few things you said there. You have to have fun no matter what.
Yeah.
And even that's one thing I've maintained through this, the whole experience, you know, my last, I'd say 3 years, like, getting into it a little bit more seriously is like fun is always a goal.
But you still put into your training those fun runs.
Fun runs.
Like Seaweez, like running with me.
Yeah.
Like when you run with me, oh, it's fun. On.
You don't give yourself enough credit. You're quick too. But yeah, it's slow. You know my coaches, but they, you know, slow run, like long runs are slow. And I think, you know, I got to learn that from them very early on because, you know, they were training for ultra triathlons, and learning those, how to run slow and, you know, whatever you think is slow, bring it back a little bit more.
That's it.
And learning what time on your feet is super important because that's what builds the base.
That's it.
For that for the speed, you know, when you have the speed, it's like, it's quality over the quantity, you know?
Yeah.
Every workout has a purpose and I think that's really important to kind of figure
and
it out.
Running slow is fun.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can chat. You can have a snack.
Don't tell me that a speed training is fun.
It's not.
It's not fun.
I did one with Ariane this morning.
And it's supposed to not be fun. Like, you're supposed to suffer in a speed training. But I'm not there right now. So fun for me is really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't believe you signed up for the 125, but congratulations. I didn't know that, but congratulations.
Thanks. It's not done, though. I'm going to train for it.
Yeah, you got preparations.
And you know that, but when you're doing a long run, an ultra, anything can happen, like stomach ache. I did Chutes du Diable this year. It was, my body went perfectly. I had no trouble at all. It was amazing, but you can train for 125K, put all the works, and in the long run, anything can happen. I hope it will not.
Me too.
But I'll have fun.
Like we did the 65K on the same course.
Yeah.
So Hurricanes in Charlevoix, Quebec.
Yeah.
And we did 65 last year. Was it last year?
Last year. Yeah.
I get confused.
September 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
And we rented a nice chalet.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And I didn't even know what this was about.
Yeah, new shoes. Justin wore new shoes for 65K. Idiot.
What do you really think about?
I think it's crazy.
But it was fun. I mean, I haven't ran one since. And maybe I'll come back to trail, but...
Yeah, your first impression, I think it was so long. Like...
So long.
It's so long. Like, you cannot have the speeds you get on road. With the incline, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. So the time that goes by is really, really long. You have to mentally be prepared for that. So I remember yourself telling, man, it was so long. Yeah. Like, that finish line never happened. And I still was running. Yeah. Like, yeah. So this is ultra.
That's great. Yeah. And you remember from Boston, and I interviewed him too, Scott?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So when I got to speak to him, we were talking about Leadville 100. Oh, yeah.
this is the artist, I think, one of the artists ultras in USA right now.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you train for a 100-mile race? And he's like, honestly, it's you got to prepare yourself mentally.
Yeah.
Like, it's the mental, it's the will to keep moving forward that you need to train, you know? Because you can't really, mileage-wise, like, you're going to do 120K a week, but marathoners do that.
That's it.
But it's that, like, how the hell do you stay out there for 20 hours?
Well, I think you have to manage your training, so...
20-plus hours, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you have to manage your training that in your volume you put those really long, long runs during weekends, like split runs. You would do like, let's say a marathon on Saturday and then 30K on Sunday. And you go long, you go slow, but still it's hard. Your legs are tired. But like your coaches, Kat and Kev, mm-hmm. they would tell me to do this. And I think it's the best thing because mentally you're preparing yourself to suffer. Mm-hmm. Like your legs hurt, but mentally you have to go forward. So
yeah, and that's like a really important thing to do. You know, it's like slow runs are like definitely the key to success. But like, do you find it hard to manage your time with all that, with all the training? Like, what's the secret? Is there a secret?
There's no secrets. Management? No, you have to. First of all, you have to, like I said before, you have to balance everything, like professional life, personal life, and ultra running is really, really time consuming. Like, you leave on Sunday morning for a long run, you come back at dinner time. Like, you have to go far from the city to get a mountain and then run for hours and come back. So you have to surround yourself with people who could accept this. Mm-hmm. So...
yeah, it's a big part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Even for myself, like, not very many commitments, but yeah, it's tough to, like... to manage all that, like the training and like fatigue, you know, you're tired from work sometimes, it's easy to make excuses, but like finding a schedule that works for you is super important. Do you find like morning running is easier for you or
oh
afternoon?
Yeah, totally. Like I enjoy getting up really early. Let's say for long runs, I don't mind to get up at 4 a.m. and starting at 5:30. So I could be in the mountain like around 7:30. You came with us in Bromont.
Yeah.
We left very early from the city. So we finished at around midday, like noon or something. We were come back. We were back in Montreal and still did like 30K on the mountain.
That was a nice,
yeah,
nice run.
For me, like, no, morning for me is the best time.
Cool. And do you have any, what about nutrition? Is there anything specifically you do for nutrition? Or,
well, first of all, nutrition is super important for runners. I'm preparing myself like for long runs. I have to think 2 days before what I eat, you know, to upgrade my carbs intake. And after, it's all about protein and restoring those muscles. I know you're vegan. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking about getting more plant-based food. I still eat meat, but I'm seeing all those ultra runners getting into the vegan thing, and they're all doing really great. They're all in super good shape, and with everything I read right now about veganism and everything, I think, wow, maybe it's an opportunity for me to start doing this. But it's just being able to, you know, put this into my schedule and start to learn how to cook again and learn new things. But it's in my mind right now. So, cool. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Because all the ultra runners are doing right now, it's like a, I don't know if it's la mode. How do we say mud? Like, there's a hype. Like,
I think it's just education. I think it's just people are better educated today,
yeah,
than they were.
And the literature
yeah,
is telling us, mm-hmm, like plant-based food is healthier. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't do it right before you're 125.
No, for sure.
And I think like there has been cases where, like for myself, before Ironman, my first one, like I had opened myself up to that diet change only a few months before, and then I faced some challenges during that race. But I think if you allow yourself the time to adapt to the diet and learn how to prepare.
The key is you have to allow yourself the time to adapt.
Yeah.
So for me, if let's say I'm doing 125K in September, I'm surely should start eating like differently right now.
Right now.
Yeah. During a race, I don't know if you eat a lot of gels and anything, but for me, this is really a challenge for me during those really long ultras, because I mostly prefer gel.
Yeah.
And like one each 30 minutes. But when your race is like 12, 13, 20 hours, it could like bring you a lot of gels during a run. And I started to have like stomach ache during my last 80K. And I have to think of a different way to eat during my races. So this is for me, like I'm into this right now. Like, challenge me if you have like something that...
Well, I like the maple gels.
Yeah, but for 20 hours
I know.
Maples.
I'm using Endurance Tap now, and that's like maple syrup.
Yeah.
Ginger and sea salt in there, and I find it really good because the ginger is it helps with like sore stomach.
Yeah.
So after that Ironman, I saw that and I was like, okay, maybe that's like a good alternative. But like real food is also good too.
Yeah, the key is, I think, to have a great variety of food during a long runs.
Yeah.
So peanut butter sandwich, potatoes, chips, anything that is, it's fun because in ultra run, you eat everything that isn't healthy, like chips and chocolates. It's just like, you need energy, just give me energy.
Yeah.
So
I think that's why I like it so much.
Yeah. But anyways, food is really important for trainings, for runs. You always have to plan it, I think. So never go on a race without a food plan. Nutrition plan.
Yeah.
So it's super important. I think most of recreational runners, they neglect that part of their training. And when they arrive to race day, they don't perform. And some of them, most of them, it's the food plan, the nutrition plan that isn't right.
Yeah.
So as a coach, I always plan something with my runners.
Oh, you do? Race. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's if you don't know, like, that's what coaches are good for. It's like they've learned these stuff. They've experienced these things. They know how to implement. They know how to.
And, you know, your body needs fuel to perform. So.
Yeah, that's it. Cool. I wanted to ask you too, like, what was like your biggest accomplishment in running to this point? And what did it mean to you?
I would say Boston.
Yeah.
For everything that represent for me, like I was so proud to qualify for that race. I was like, it was amazing. I had the worst race of my life that day. The 4 hour 15 minutes is my slowest marathon ever. But I think the work I've put in before Boston and the fact that I didn't get out of the course on that day and finished it. It was hard, but I still managed to cross the finish line. For me, it's the most important moment of my life as a runner. But I would say this year, running 125K, I know the time is going to take me to prepare for that race. This is going to be probably something really special too. And like seeing my runners each Wednesday night coming and... having the confidence in me to lead their runs is really inspiration for me. So it's not a race, but it's a project that I built. Mm-hmm. So from nothing to something that is pretty big right now, I think this is super important for me too. So CCC, Boston, and what it's going to be in 2020, the 100 miler.
Yeah,
this is something that I'm really planned to achieve in my life.
Crazy.
And then I'm going to go back to Boston to road running.
Yeah, after that?
After that one, the 100-miler, yeah.
Okay, cool. Was there like a turning point for you during this journey you saw the fork and it kind of put you in a different spot, like where I know over time you can progress and like build your run club and all that stuff in yourself, but you know, there's a defining moment, let's say.
Oh, yeah, there was one for me too. I would say a couple of moments for me. I was approached by Lululemon in 2014 to be an ambassador, a running ambassador. Mm-hmm. I was a recreational runner, a coach from Boucherville, and that brand, Lululemon, asked me to be their ambassador, their running ambassador. I thought, why me? But they say, you know, you have this running community that you build, and you're doing great things with them. And Lululemon bring me to new friends, and I've met your coaches, Kat and Kev, in, I think it was that year, in 2013, fall 2013. And I remember it was 5 a.m. in the morning, and they said, Mark, if you want to go for a run with me and Kevin, let's do this next morning. And they were preparing for their second or their first Ultraman, if I remember well, or it was maybe Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, who am I to be how can I be lucky to run with those two extraordinary athletes on Sunday morning in Tremblant? And they talk about nothing, just telling me like what you want to achieve, do you train? Yeah. And at the end of that run, it was a 10K. I started to believe that I could do a marathon, that I could grow my community. They just inspire me. Like, I wanted to do greater things than I was doing at that day. So these two made the big difference, and I think from that moment I started to believe that I could achieve mostly anything. I did after that Boston. I did bring my community to 100 runners each Wednesday night. I did 80K last year. I'm preparing for a 125, and I will run a 100 miler in 2020. And those guys are the switch that lift me there. So, and they told me to be à l'écoute, like
listen.
Yeah, listen to the runners that
around you
are around you, because they could lift you up too with their stories. So that's it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah,
like I said, that was a pretty, so there's one thing we have in common there. It's that those two,
yeah.
And I think if we talk to a few more people, like the impact that they have on others to take it one step further, and you know, it's really special, and that anything is possible, really, you know.
But this is something funny though. They told us, they told you this, they told me this like 5 years ago, but after that, we managed to do this to other runners ourselves. Like, you're doing run
to beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So to inspire runners around you, I'm doing CCC. So yeah, Kat and Kev like are amazing people that just are amazing.
yeah. There's no other way.
Yeah.
No other way to describe it.
Yeah.
And that, I think I met you probably in 20, it probably might have been around 2015. So you were,
I would say this,
and that's where I met everyone. Like, I met
Ariane.
You, I met Ariane.
Yeah.
I met, and it was kind of in the same way or through, I had met them, and then they kind of introduced me to these other really special people that really were inspiring. And it's true, you know, you see the person in front of you and what they're doing, and you know,
it's really intimidating at first, you know. Wow.
To run with Ariana, I was like,
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man. Like,
and now you run with her.
All the time, yeah.
Yeah, so.
It's crazy, you know? It's not, and you, like, you were always the joker of the group, but it is, you know, you had, like, something special in Distrant, and that was super inspirational to see that. That kind of happened. Like, I didn't even know where Brassard was before I met.
Yeah. And the key is, I think, Run to Beer, Distrant, CCC, WRG Run Club, whatever run club you're in, I think you should go to these run clubs because you're going to meet people that give them goals. And people who give themselves goals are people inspiring. And I think they can lift you up. Sometimes when you run alone, you don't get to be inspired by those runners around you, and it's too bad because you get a lot from these run clubs. And in Montreal, we get many run clubs right now. East Laurier, Yamajo, we get WRG, we get
Run Right.
Yeah, Run Right in yeah. NDG. So yeah. On the South Shore, we have. I think Rive Nord should get a run club.
I think so too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Rive Nord?
I don't know. Maybe there's one that exists.
Okay, we're talking to the Rive Nord people right now.
Step it up.
Yeah, come on. You got to have.
If you have one, we don't know about it. But yeah, I don't think it's like we're really. I think in Montreal, especially, super fortunate to be. And I love running. Like I help out and run with WRG Run Club on Mondays, and then Yamajo run on Wednesdays and Saturdays. Run Right on Thursdays. You guys run
on Wednesday.
On Wednesdays. In the summertime, and then you have your Distrant thing. I think it's just so great to have to be connected to
and
all those.
All those run clubs are free,
right?
Like you don't pay.
No,
just
yeah.
Show up with your running shoes
yeah.
and run.
Yeah, and I think it's something to be said. Like maybe, you know, there's something that we can give to them, but there's also something that they can give to us.
Oh
too,
yeah, for
know?
Sure.
And I think that's fun. It's something I always tell. Kat and Kev, but I say it to you as well. Like, I don't think you realize like, how many people you're actually touching because you become used to it in the work that you do and the good work that you do and the people that you're bringing together on a regular basis. And I think that's unique and special, but you also kind of get, you don't know, you know, you tell something to somebody and then it's probably happened to you where the next week they come back
yeah.
and they're like, oh, I tried what you said and it really helped. And
oh yeah, for sure.
You know, downhill running, uphill running, like there's little tips and stuff that you can give and people really
and
appreciate
it. And it's scary, you know, because you have to be careful of what you say. And, you know, if I say something, yeah, do this, I know people will probably do it.
Yeah.
So you have to be careful when you're a leader in a run club, like people will want to follow what you see, what you say, and you know you have to be prudent. How do we say?
Yeah, careful.
Careful.
Cautious.
Yeah, cautious.
Yeah,
that's it. And yeah,
awesome. So as far as what's happening, I know what your goals are for the upcoming year and stuff. But so just a reminder: when does the Distrant start?
Yeah, we're going to start Distrant on January 13th. So
okay.
The first Sunday will be on that date.
And that's a lap. I think it's a 640 meter.
Yeah, it's a 603 meters. So it's a L shape. It's not like a perfect track.
Circle,
it's
yeah.
a L shaped 600 meter track, but with curves. So
yeah.
It's not that like. You don't turn on a 90-degree angle.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy. Music, hundreds of runners around you.
Yeah. And what time is it start? It's going to be...
Official hours?
Yeah.
Like 6?
Yeah.
Unofficial, as early as you want.
Okay.
So you want
to... And it goes till 9 when
8:30.
When people start showing up.
Yeah, 8:30. We stop the runs there, so... We had people doing marathons on Sunday mornings. They arrive early, like at 4:30 a.m. and started to run.
Just crushing it.
Yeah.
And where can people find out more about you and your run club? And
CCC starts the season on April 25th, I think. And we stop at the end of October.
Okay.
So we manage the run club for 25, 26 weeks.
Okay.
And then we stop. And we take a break, and like people will go to Distrant, they could go to other run clubs. And I think it's good like to have like a season, off season, let's say, like take a break from running a little bit and do some cross training and everything. And since this 30 reappears on January, so it's like, for me, it's about 2 months off. And this, I have a Facebook page, like Club de Course CCC.
Okay.
And you could like the page if you want. And all the information of their, of our training is there.
Okay.
And we also have an Instagram, like Club de Course CCC. And that's it.
And your own hand, you... Do people reach out to you directly also on Instagram or?
Yeah, they could reach me. It's me that answer all the questions on Instagram and Facebook. So
okay.
If you write to Run Club CCC, I'm going to answer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
The real Mark Langevin.
Yeah, the real Mark Langevin. Not a robot or anything.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming in today, Mark, and sharing a beer with me today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. And, like I said, I had you in today because, the goal of this podcast was to inspire runners, just like I've been inspired, and you've been a pretty influential person in my life, and I'm really appreciative of you coming in today. And,
like I said, I was so afraid to come here and, like, talk in English. Like, mostly, I never talk in English except with you guys, like with Justin, Kat, Kev, Ari. Yeah. And sorry for all the listeners there. My English is not that good, but like I said, I never spoke in English.
You did great.
I did my best.
You did great.
Okay, thanks.
And we'll see you in the parking lot at Distron.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, take care.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
This episode is brought to you by WRG Run Club. If you're looking for a friendly, fun, and positive run club to join, this group is for you. They meet every Monday at 7 p.m. on the base of Mount Royal. Some run fast, some run slow. Who you'll meet, you never know. Keep track and visit their website, iamarunner.ca, and be sure to follow them on Instagram for more details at WRGRuns. Hope to see you out there. Thank you for joining us on this week's episode of The Rundown. Please make sure to visit us at iamarunner.ca. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WRGRuns, and let us know what you think using the hashtag TheRundown. We hope you enjoyed our show. Now take what you've learned and run with it. The Rundown is a production by WRG Media, recorded in the historic RCA building in downtown Montreal. Produced and recorded by Forrest McKay. Our executive producers, Leslie and Lindsay Woods. Graphics and illustrations created by Ryan Bondi and assisted by Mark Grimberg. Marketing by Jill Garcia and hosted by me, Justin Pugliese.